What a promise. For those of us who are saved, that's a precious, precious promise. For those who are lost, that is a dreadful, dreadful thought. To fall into the hands of an angry God, to face a thrice holy God in your sin, by yourself, what a fearful, fearful, dreadful thing. But it is an absolute thing. We all shall behold Him. And more importantly, He shall behold all of us, one at a time. Won't be you and your church, won't be you and your family, won't be you and your daddy, won't be you and your mama, you and your brothers or sisters, aunts, uncles, won't be you and your church, won't be you and your preacher, but you and God alone. That's a wonderful thought to those who are saved, to no longer look through a glass darkly, but face to face, the Bible says. One day we shall behold Him. Faith will turn into sight. And what a day that will be. What a day that will be. I'm praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. He's coming sooner than later. He's coming. Ready or not, I preach a message. Ready or not, here I come. Remember playing that little game as a child, hide and go seek. Somebody'd go and count. Miss and Chastity, I know we played it growing up. Down in Hammock Grove, Grandma, down up on the big hill, what I call it, up on the big hill. That hill don't look so big now that I'm grown, but back in it looked like a mile up the road. And we'd play hide and go seek. One of us would count, one, two, three, and the others would scatter. And they'd go hide and got to whatever number we was counting to, you'd hear that familiar sound. Ready or not, here I come. And Jesus is on the literally on the edge of His seat, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And even He don't know when He's coming. That's something God the Father has reserved for Himself. And I don't have time to get into all of that, but if you study Jewish weddings, the Father would set the time. He would set the all of the makeup and all of that had to do with the great wedding day. The Father of the bride would set all that up. And the Lord Jesus is sitting there and He's waiting for the Father to turn to Him and say, "Son, go get your bride." And boy, I'm glad I am in the body. I'm glad I'm part of the bride of Christ. Amen. Think about that song, "We Shall Behold Him." I remember in that church building next door, I remember standing over on the left side in that back room, me and my brothers and Tommy and the preacher, we were all back there on my wedding day. And I was nervous. My hands were sweating. I was thinking, "Oh my goodness, am I really about to do this?" And I walked out and I stood there anticipating. And sure enough, the doors opened and there was the most beautiful thing I'd ever saw come walking toward me. And to know, I got to behold her and see her and to know that she was mine, all mine. And boy, that was a glorious day. I never will forget it. And the good thing, I love her more today than I did then. And that's the same way it is with the Lord. I love Him more today than I did the day He saved me. Every day, the more I get to know Him, the better I get to know Him, the more I love Him. And one day, soon, we're closer than we've ever been. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. Oh, if you know anything about your Bible, you know that the coming of the Lord is nigh. It's nigh, and everything's set up right in place. Did you ever dream you'd live to see a day where the murder of innocents would be celebrated, to where they'd light up the city in pink, celebrating the butchering of babies? I'm telling you, we're living in a wicked, demon-possessed, dark hour. No one of the Lord said, "Will I find faith when I return?" God help us. God help us. We that are saved, we need to be trimming the wick, making sure we're full of the Holy Spirit of God, shining bright for Christ in this last hour. No time for quitting now. We're too close home. What a tragedy it would be to run a marathon. A good friend of mine, Brother Kenny Kuykendall, he is a great preacher, great writer, he has begun running marathons, and he beat his personal record this past weekend and won first place somewhere. I forgot where it was at, but what a tragedy it would be to run practice and prepare to go. I couldn't run a mile. That's 26 or however many. What is a marathon? 26 miles? Could you imagine going through all that training and preparation and getting to the 25th mile, seeing the tape, and then just quitting? I'm telling you, we've been serving the Lord these many years, and He's coming soon. It'd be a bad time to quit on God. And I know it's hard. The Bible says in the last days, man's heart would wax cold. And I'm living in the same world you're living in. And listen, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how dark it gets, it's no time to quit on God. We need to, like Paul said, I read it this morning there in the book of Timothy. Paul said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I have finished my course. And I'd encourage you this morning, as the Lord's been encouraging me, and I appreciate all of you been praying, finish your course, whether it be by touching the tape of death or whether we all go in the air, finish faithfully. Run your race. Amen. Don't be a castaway. Amen. Finish your race. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Go to the 63rd Psalm. 63rd Psalm. Psalm 63. We were planning to have an ordination service this morning to ordain Brother Jimmy Humphreys, but he had to take Miss Connie to the urgent care this morning. She's got the flu and several other things combined that's hit her. So you pray for them. We had to postpone that. But that'll happen very soon. We'll be ordaining Brother Jimmy Humphreys to be a deacon. And then Brother Steve Bennett's already been ordained. He'll be a deacon as well. But that's not going to happen today as we plan. But you be praying for these men as they're praying for you. Psalm 63, if you there, say amen. Amen. Verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Boy, we could just stop right there and preach a message. Oh, God, have you ever, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot this morning, but I've had to train and teach and correct my children when they'd say, oh, God, oh, God, or golly, or gosh, or geez. You say, well, why? Well, because, listen, that is taking the Lord's name in vain. And you say, oh, you're just nitpicking. Well, I'm not. I'm not at all. We ought to be real careful how we use the Lord's name. Amen. But here, oh God, Thou art my God. And He's God whether He's your God or not. I used to see that, I'm sure you did, see that bumper sticker people would put on their cars, God is my co-pilot. That sounds good, but He's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. And that other saying or cliche said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not. But He said, oh God, Thou art my God. I'm glad I can report to you this morning, testify to the fact He is God, but He's my God. And if you don't have that personal relationship with Him this morning, I would not leave here today without making sure that you didn't just know that He's God, but you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He's your God. Amen. The psalmist said, oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. That'll be all the reading we'll do this morning. I do want to go back to verse 4 real quick. The Bible said, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name." Listen, a lot of people have this train of thought that you're going to worship the Lord and you're going to bless the Lord and everything is just going to majestically change when we get to heaven. And that's when you're going to join in blessing the Lord and worshiping Him. And because when we get to heaven, I mean, it's going to be heaven and everybody's going to be worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. And that's when we'll all start. And in my imagination, as growing up, I thought that's how it would be. That when I got to heaven, you know, all things would change. And that's when everybody with one voice would lift up their voices unto the Lord and praise the Lord and worship Him. But I've lived long enough to learn that is not how it truly is. Do you understand this morning? We are not waiting till we get to heaven to get eternal life. You've got all the life that you're ever going to get. If you've been saved, you already have eternal life. And just because we change addresses from earth to heaven is not going to change who you are, how you are, in the way. Now, we will get a glorified body, but who you are, listen, your body and my body, it's going to die. It's going to return to the dust. And we will get a glorified body. Thank God. I'm looking forward to the day when there'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more hurt. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more agony. There'll be no more reason for hospitals and for funeral homes. And there'll be I won't have to wear these aggravating things. And the aches and the pains. Miss Jan, you won't have to have no more back surgeries. There's coming a day, and all that will change because it's related to this physical body of flesh that we live in. But what you see this morning, who you identify when you see this face and this hair, this swiftly changing colors, and you recognize, say, well, there's Michael. That's the house that I live in, but that ain't who I am. I'll trade this old body in, thank the Lord, for a new one, for a glorified one. But who I am and who you are, you always will be. The Bible says you'll be known as you're known. You are who you are. That's not going to change. Heaven ain't going to change that. And the psalmist said, "Thus will I bless thee while I live." And if you wait to start blessing the Lord when you get to heaven because you're, listen, you got the wrong mentality. You might as well bless Him now. He's just as worthy to be blessed and praised and worshiped now as He will be 10 billion years from now. Amen. He's God today while we are sitting here in the sanctuary and in the house of God. He's just as much God as He's ever been. He's just as much God as He ever will be. He's great and greatly to be praised. Amen. And why wait to bless Him? He inhabits the praise of His people. Yes, sir. And we ought to get that mindset of, well, when I get to heaven. No, listen, why not start now? Amen. Why not start now and bless Him? We got revival coming up. I don't know what time it is. I'm not going to keep you. I hesitate to say that. When I start to say I'm not going to keep you long, every time I say that, normally that comes back to bite me. But I'm going to try to be brief this morning for a multitude of reasons. But we got revival coming up next week. Starting next week, we've been praying. Being the pastor of the church, it's my responsibility, it's my obligation to have a sense of where our church is at spiritually, to have to be the seer. That's what the Bible term, to be the under-shepherd, and to know where we're going and where things are. And I'm not saying this to be critical, not saying this to be mean-spirited at all. The Lord knows my heart. But I want to tell you this morning, our church needs revival. You need revival. I need revival. I've been saying that, but I mean, I'm not wasting time. I'm not just filling in. That's not just word filler. with every fiber of being that's within me, I'm telling you, I don't care who you are. If you need revival. I need revival. We need revival. Morningstar Baptist Church stands in great need of revival. I mean a true God-sent, Holy Ghost-sent, sin-shaking, soul-stirring, true revival. To where we are willing to turn from some things and turn loose of some things and let go of some things and to allow God, the Holy Ghost of God, to come and rearrange some things in our lives and to get over some things that we've been under. To let go of some things that are behind, that need to be in our past, and to forget those things which are behind and press forward and toward the mark, the high call. We need revival. We need revival. The good news is we can have it. You can have it. You say, I just don't know. Our church is in such a mess. I done heard it. And you that gossip, let me help you. This is something I've learned, and you've probably heard this, but I want you to hear it this morning and actually comprehend this. Do you know if somebody is willing to gossip to you and talk about things and people and places to you, do you know they'll go to somebody else and do the same thing about you? Oh, goodness. People amaze me sometimes. I'm being sincere. And that stuff gets around. So, and it's scriptural. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And them little Tweety birds fly by my way. I hear the 411 of what's going on in your life, your attitude, and your what gets your dander up and what you bothered by. Trust me, I hear it way more than I want to. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if I never heard again what bothers you. To be honest with you, and I'm not being mean, but I'm not here to please you this morning. If you don't like the way I'm doing things, you need to take it up with the Lord. I didn't come here to please you. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to please the Lord. And if He's satisfied with it, hey, you'll just have to get over it. Move on. I just wouldn't do it that way. That's why you ain't doing it. I just don't think we ought to do it. Listen, Lord, help us to get over such pettiness. Most of the things I'm hearing, they're so petty and small and little. There's a world dying and going to hell around us. Our families are in chaos, and people are bickering and moaning and griping over the smallest of things. Let me just help you. That says a lot about it. Whether you like what I'm saying right now, which is probably just really making you mad, let me help you. If this is bothering you, that ought to let you know loud and clear you need revival. We need revival. We need to get over, listen, the small stuff and see the bigger picture. It ain't all about you. It ain't all about how you feel. It ain't all about me. It ain't all about how I feel. It's about God in heaven is trying to do something way bigger than any of us. And you can either be a part of it, and I can be a part of it by yielding and submitting ourselves to Him and allowing Him to use us, or and daily die to our will and our wants and our desires and do it God's way and empty ourselves and die daily, reckon ourselves to be dead and crucify ourselves daily and allow Him to fill us and follow Him and do it His way or not. But I promise you, we're going, by the grace and help of God, I'm not going to pastor this church going forward as if this was the nursery. There's been enough pacifying and pampering and petting. It's time for us to grow up. Most of you that's in this sanctuary this morning has been in church long enough, heard enough Bible preaching, been under the influence of enough that we ought to be plenty mature enough not to be so petty. And the devil, I promise you, listen, I promise you, God ain't pleased with that. God ain't pleased with that. And we need revival. Some of you is looking at me like, what in the world? You get off at the wrong out of bed this morning? No, I didn't. I was happy to get out of bed this morning. And I got up probably way earlier than any of y'all did. And I prayed fervently this morning for you. And I'm not throwing stones, and I don't have an axe to grind. I'm just telling you, for the good of our church, we need God to move. I'll tell you this, I can't fix you. I can't fix you. I can't fix nobody. I can't fix myself. But there's a God in heaven who can. And if we'll allow Him, make ourselves available, yield to Him, be willing to allow Him to do what He needs to do to get us right, we can have revival. And Psalm 63 said, the psalmist said, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. God help us. We're in that desert. A lot of us been living in that desert, barren, dry land. You ever got good and thirsty? I mean, just real thirsty and hot, sweaty, just needing a good cold drink of water. That's what, listen, revival will quench the thirst. And I don't know about you, but when I'm real thirsty, I don't want a Coca-Cola. Honestly, I don't want Coca-Cola anytime. I don't drink them no more. But when I'm real, real thirsty, I don't even want a Gatorade. All that sugar and all that, those extra things that's been put into it, it just makes you more thirsty. When I'm thirsty, I mean really thirsty, I want a good, cold, clean, crisp, pure drink of water. Amen. Let me tell you what water is in the Word of God. It's a type. Moving water is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Still water is a type of the Word of God. And we need a fresh, big gulp of God's water to quench the thirst. Because what the devil's been doing and what we've been trying to quench our thirst with is fleshly things and the sugar highs. And the devil's been, we'll say, oh, we're thirsty, and the devil will gladly hand us a Coca-Cola, all the additives, and something that just make us, it really don't take the thirst away. It really don't get to the root of the problem. It really don't bring refreshment. It just fixes it for a short moment. But I'm telling you, we need something from God. I mean, that'll sustain us, something that will take our parched tongue and our parched lips and mouth and will moisten it and bring a sense of relief and a sense of peace and a sense of praise God. What a wonderful feeling it is to get a good drink of water when you're thirsty and dry. And we dry. We need God to help us. And I believe we can have revival in 2019. I still believe we can experience revival. Don't you? I long to see revival here at our church. Wouldn't you love to have a revival to where God got so real around here that it wasn't just different at the church house, but things got different down at your house, on the job? Wouldn't you like to, I mean, really, for God to invade us in such a way and to change things so radically that your family would know there was something absolutely, undeniably different about you. Something that would generate and create not what they have their, now. When they, most of our families and most of our friends, we've lived like the devil through the week and come to church on Sunday and we claim God, but we live like the devil. That most of our family and friends look at us and they really don't want nothing that we got. They look at us like most of us live, like a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. We ain't going to have revival till we get honest. My house needs revival. My home. Down at the house where I live, we need revival. And the world don't want what we got. We're not going to attract lost people to come in here until we get right, real, and have the genuine power of God moving in supernatural ways. This world, especially this part of the world, has had more than its share of religion. And they've had enough of it. They've had enough of it. I tell you what they hadn't had enough of, because you can't never get enough of it. You can't never get too much genuine, God-moving, God-changing, God-rearranging people's lives and bringing a real change. And we need real radical change. I ain't preaching to the church down the street. I'm preaching to this one. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to you. You say, but I'm living for the Lord. Listen, let's all just get honest from the pulpit to the pew this morning and be honest about it. You ain't nowhere near where you need to be with the Lord. I mean, I can call Brother Dean and Brother Rackley and cancel them today. It'd really be a big waste of money and time if we're not serious about. I mean, do we want revival? I do. And they're not going to bring it, but God does use preachers, and I'm anticipating God to move, but they ain't got a satchel. They're going to bring it and dump it out on us. We got to get honest with the Lord and with ourselves. Listen, you need revival, Brother Steve. I love you, but you need revival. I called him out because I knew he wasn't going to get his feelings hurt. But I can say the same thing about everybody in this room. Amen. If you lost in here this morning, you need revival of the truest sense. You need to be revived. You need God to breathe life into you. But those of us who have been saved, we're living, but barely. Barely living. God, the Lord Jesus said, I come to give life. And life more abundantly. And most of us, we're barely living. Barely living. And it's no wonder that the world don't want what we got. They come to church and they hear the griping and complaining and see us down in the mully grubs. And I mean, just look like we just lost our dog. And I'm being honest. When sinners come in, they need to see and feel that and to know that there's something alive here. And it's not manufactured. It's not put on. It ain't a production or a show. But that it only flows from God, the true and living God, and He is breathing life afresh into this place. And we cannot fake that, cannot manufacture that, but we can have it. But it starts with understanding. We're in a dry desert land. We're thirsty. Said, my flesh longeth for thee. How bad are we wanting God to do something? The psalmist said, my flesh is longing for thee. When I say we need revival, and I say, do you want revival? Everybody says, yeah. About everybody says, amen. Yeah, we need revival. I need revival. Are you longing for it? How bad do you want it? I mean, that's the question. I could get up here and play patty cake with you if you wanted to this morning, but that ain't going to help you. I mean, come on. Don't you know? The Lord's reminding me daily, many times a day, the way things are is not sustainable. I got to have more than just the status quo, meager, temperature set on 70, climate control. I mean, everything's just lukewarm. Listen, we're losing our children. We've got okay with the fact that our family is dying, going to hell. It don't bother some more. I know there's been a good bit of Facebook posts about these butchers and these wicked laws they're passing in New York. But other than putting it on Facebook, how much have you got on your knees? How bad has that really broken your heart that our country's in the shape that it's in? And it ain't Cuomo's fault. It's not the politicians' fault. We cannot cast blame on them. Those people, they're most of them, for the most part, they're lost. They don't know the God of the Bible. I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's the Christians and the churches who have shut up and shut down and just got satisfied and lost our voice in this land. That's what allowed it to get to the place. And it is a wicked thing going on. It is sad. It is a shame. But listen, whether they're killing the babies at the point of birth, and in the last trimester, or whether they're doing it in the first or the second, it's still murder. It should bother us from conception on the fact that our country has butchered under the name of law over 60 million babies. And if you think God's going to wink at that, no, friend, I'm telling you, we need revival. And so if we say we need revival and we want revival, how bad are you longing for it? Let me ask you this. I might as well just, I'm not going to get to that. Let me ask you this. I'm honestly this morning, how bad do you want it? If it costs $1,000, would you buy it? If I ain't got $1,000, would you save to get it? Is it that important to you? If you knew you could have revival and God would radically change your life and your family's life and do something supernatural in your life that would be lasting, that would transform your home and your life and our church, and sinners could come in and be saved and we could experience the power of God, and you knew it required 20 hours of praying, would you not do it? You ain't got to answer out loud. I'm just saying in your heart, how bad do you want it? The psalmist wanted it to the point he longed for it. He admitted he had got himself into a place to where he was dry, thirsty, and he knew he needed to come clean with the Lord. He needed the Lord's help. And he said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." Hey, I promise you, getting saved is free. It ain't cheap. Costs God everything, but it's free to us. But revival ain't free. It's going to cost you. I'm not going to call anybody's name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if I was to say, everybody that's prayed over 3 hours this past week, 3 hours, that's 7 days, 24 hours a day, did you take 3 hours last week and pray for revival? Two, all those who prayed, don't do it, but if I said all those who prayed at least 2 hours last week, stand to your feet. I bet there'd be very few standing. And we really say we want revival. The facts are just against us. It's contrary. Our lives are contrary to what we say we want. That great revival verse every preacher preaches from, everybody could quote it. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then God said he'd send revival. Listen. We're not going to experience revival. I don't care who preaches. I don't care. Hey, listen, I don't care if Billy Graham come back from the dead and come to preach a revival meeting at Morning Star Baptist Church. We ain't going to experience revival until personally, on a personal level, you and I are willing to pay the price. Get up early. Do you want revival bad enough to get up and do without some sleep and pray, seek the Lord? I didn't come in here for shouting and amens this morning. I'm tired of seeing the devil wreck homes and break up marriages and twist and ruin and wreck children's lives and young people's lives and get them hooked on dope and drugs and see young people see their minds polluted and going down a way that they may never come back from. I'm telling you, our children, this generation coming, this issue of homosexuality and all the philosophy of this generation, our children, my children, are in so much trouble. Everything's going to be so normal and natural to them. But the Bible still says, read Romans chapter 1, they've left their natural affection. I'm telling you, if we don't have revival, we're going to lose our children. You say, not mine. No parent ever thought it would be theirs. No grandparent ever thought, oh, that never happened to mine. We raised them right. I'm telling you, we've never lived in a day so dark. And just bringing them to church ain't going to be enough. They're going to have something down at the house. They're going to have to see you, Daddy, getting up before the sun breaks. They're going to have to hear you, Mama, praying. They're going to have to see and believe that we really, really believe what we say, desire what we say we desire, and it's worth doing what it takes to get it. Well, the psalmist said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Do you know if we've really had revival? Do you know most churches around don't have any water to offer? They got preaching, they got singing, but they ain't got no water. You know where the horses go to when they're thirsty? Wherever the water is. And I'm just telling you, most churches, I don't care. I'm not naming any names or throwing rocks. I'm just saying most places, most churches don't have water to draw people. And God help us. God help us to be a church that offer water to a dry and weary land of people. Said, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. We need revival and to get back to where church ain't dead, dry. I mean, to where people can come in and really experience and see the power of God, the glory of God, that they're not getting everywhere else. I mean, if we can have God move in power and real revival happen, people will come to see the glory of God and to experience the power of God. We need, as the psalmist said, the power. We need to see the power and thy glory. As I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. Hey, hadn't the Lord been good enough to you already? Hadn't he been good enough to me already that we should live for him? Say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to work. Boy, I can't wait to cast my crowns at Jesus' feet. Oh, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to throw my crowns and bow down and at Jesus' feet. The Lord would much rather us live for him now than to cast crowns at his feet then. He left us here to live for him, that others could see. He died for us so that we would just simply live for him. And I know life's busy. I know there's a lot going on. I do. But if you're too busy to live for God, you're too busy. So, but preacher, you just don't understand. I mean, we got priorities. I mean, I do understand. Some things would have to go. Some things would have to go. We'd have to strip some things out of our schedules. We'd have to be willing to say, Lord, you didn't hold back. You died for me. The least I could do would be to live for you. To be a living... Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Listen, which is your reasonable service. God ain't asking too much. God ain't asking too much. He said this, that we would have to sacrifice some things in living this life for him. That's reasonable. After all he's done for us, it's reasonable that we would be willing to sacrifice some things to live for him. I know this sounds foreign and strange, but we're not. Hey, listen, if we keep doing what we've been doing and being satisfied with what we've been satisfied with, we're never going to go higher and further with the Lord. Never going to get any deeper with the Lord. We're not going to experience revival. And I'm telling you, things have got to change if we want to see revival. I mean behind the scenes when nobody's watching. I hope you'll take the message this morning. I know it's not polished. I had an outline. But what the Lord's saying to us this morning is in line, and it's not polished. But if we're going to see revival, if you're going to experience revival, you're going to have to get that bitterness out of your heart, that unforgiveness. Oh, God, help us. A house divided, oh, Lord, help us. Hey, who is it the Holy Spirit just brought to your mind that you know you got a forgiveness problem with? I'm going to say this and be done. I want everybody to listen. If you hadn't listened to nothing I said this morning, I want you to listen to this and answer this honestly. I'm going to leave you with this and we're going to leave. What if God truly wanted to send revival? I mean revival to the point on such a massive scale through this church into Packlet and the surrounding areas to where the meth heads would quit smoking their meth. To where to where those who are drunks would quit buying their beer and their liquor. Those who go to the parties and the clubs would quit going to the parties and the clubs because they all got saved by God's grace. And your family members who and mine would truly get saved in their lives rearranged. And we've seen a true, real, heaven-sent revival. What if you knew God was wanting to do that? Because I'm going to tell you something. He does. I just want you to leave with. Do you know you ever revival that I've ever studied about, there's been a key to that revival. Somebody who got serious with the Lord. And I just want you to leave this morning asking yourself this question. Lord, am I hindering? Am I the one hindering? Quenching the Spirit of God, grieving the Spirit of God to where you cannot work. Am I the one standing in the way of you doing a great and mighty work? Why don't you search your heart? That's what I've been searching my heart and saying, Lord, if it's me standing in the way, remove me. Move me, Lord. Remove me. I don't need you to answer to me. I don't need you to come tell me. But I would beg you to get honest with God and honest with yourself and just meditate on that thought. Lord, is there anything in my life that's hindering and grieving and quenching you doing a great and mighty work? And if there is, be willing to do business with God, whatever it is. Forgive whoever you got to forgive. Remove the bitterness out of your heart. Ask God to forgive you. Repent of it. Turn from it. Seek His face. Humble yourself, pray, and if every one of us will do that, I'm telling you, it will amaze us what God will do. But He ain't going to do it until we get our heart right and ready and get real. So, as we close this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, that's the question, that's the invitation.